Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life and that you put us here, right now on earth, in the midst of amazing events all around us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We are warned repeatedly in the Bible to not be deceived, but rather to know the truth. In the Bible, there is the parable about Lazarus and the rich man. After they had both passed into the next life, the rich man asks Abraham if Lazarus can be sent back to warn his brothers, to tell them that they want to be in Abraham's bosom and not in Hades. Abraham responds, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." That is in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. It says, though one rose from the dead. It reminds me of Jesus. You too, right? And who believes today that one can rise from the dead? Who believes about things like Mary's Immaculate Conception or multiplying the loaves and the fishes or changing water into wine? Miracles. Well, today the world prefers to believe in magic and somehow not believe that God can perform the miracles of raising the dead and of Immaculate Conception. And so many are having a problem today believing in the God of the Bible. And maybe if you have questions, you could pray something like I did in the middle of my life. I said, God, I don't know if you are real, but if you are, show me. And over the course of 4 or 5 years, he did show me. There is a God. God is real. And now most people are brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, almost instantly. And we all have a different path. God deals with us according to what we need. God, the Holy Spirit, is gentle. He comes into your life if you ask him or invite him into your life. Now, our God, the God of the Bible, is amazing. So ask him even more fully than he is now. Ask him into your life. There are other small g gods, and there are even people who claim to be Jesus. And the Bible says, be not deceived. We know from looking in the world that there is deception everywhere. And the Bible warns us that there will be false Christs. And what do you think happens when you follow a false Christ? Do you think that the real Jesus will say, oh, well, that's okay. You tried. let me ask you a question. If you met someone whose name was the same as your spouse, and you were generous and affectionate with that person, and then your spouse found out, do you think your spouse would say, oh, that's okay, because you thought that other person was me? After all, we do have the same name. Oh, I think not. I think that it would not end well. So, the same for if you are following the wrong Jesus Christ. I think that it would not end well for that person. Now, the Bible is the Word of God, and it tells you about the real Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But study it out for yourself, because you must have that understanding firmly within you. And the Bible helps you gain that understanding. It says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But here we are going through life, and we find out that there are many deceivers. They may well tell you that they know the way, or they know some special hidden truth, and that they know the way and can tell you just how to live, how to go through life, how to get a fresh new life. Well, like I said, there are deceivers, and they use false reasoning, and they may make you promises. It could be that they promise you riches or fame or relationship of some kind. Well, anyway, there are plenty of people who want to persuade you to follow them. Not Jesus. They want you to follow them because they think they're special. Oh, and they might be special. And they might even tell you that they can make you special too. Well, they could very well have lots of gifts and lots of talents. But if they are not centered upon Jesus, then have nothing to do with them. Look back in history, look back in the Bible, and you can see in those days long ago, like in the days of ancient Egypt and in ancient Babylon, there were magicians, there were astrologists, and soothsayers. They had gifts, and I assume that those gifts were from Satan and not from God. And is the situation so different today? Well, we try to understand, and we find that those certain special people can do things that we see as impossible, because of an illusion or because of a certain, well, let's call it magic. But it is deception, apparently, and it also is by the power of Satan. Oh, if you look at what some of the modern magicians openly say, they will attribute what they do to the power of Satan. Hard to believe, isn't it? But yes, I've heard them say it. So indeed, we must know that we are in a great battle between good and evil, God and Satan. And be not deceived, because it is a battle, and it is your soul that is at stake ultimately. Well, do you know that there is a Russian ICBM missile, intercontinental ballistic missile, and they have named it Satan 2. What a name, Satan 2. Is there a message here? Good question. That Russian missile will be ready to be deployed sometime in 2020. So, I gather that's between 10 and 20 months from now. in this world we are living in, well, we are under the threat of nuclear weapons, and we have been for a long, long time. So, yes, recognize it as a threat, but at the same time, realize that it maybe will not happen. Oh, because I don't think any leader of a major country wants to actually push that nuclear button to send nuclear missiles to another country. Oh, but maybe I'm wrong. I know there is one exception, and that is Iran, because they have been saying, their leaders have been saying for decades, that they want to destroy the great Satan, which is the United States of America. And then they want to destroy the lesser Satan, which is Israel. Oh, how can we ignore that? And we do have to pay attention to all the things around us. We have to pay attention to what the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, said. He talked about it several times, but in this year he has been saying a couple of times to the general media, begging people to understand, begging the United States people to understand that the United States has been putting weapons into countries which are right close to the Russian border, and that those weapons or missiles could quickly be converted to become nuclear missiles. Well, we can understand that it's a threat. We can understand that Russia definitely feels threatened by it. So what do we do? Well, we try to understand and remember, like I said, that there is deception going on all around us. Just like those magicians. We are entertained by them, but they are using deception to distract your attention from what is really going on. And no doubt there is supernatural deception as well, with the help of some sort of demonic power. Because they're doing things that are impossible for the ordinary person, an ordinary situation to occur. How does it occur? Well, what they do does look amazing, and it's just fine to look at what they do and recognize that they are dealing with deception, and no doubt magic and spirit powers that are demonic. It's just kind of like out of this world. It is out of this world. It is not in the this realm. Now, speaking of the two realms or dimensions, it's very interesting if you start that path to look at how many different dimensions that there are. We think of three dimensions or four, and yet the people who look into these things by theory recognize that there are probably about 10 dimensions. So we get to just look at it from an understanding, a theoretical point of view. And it's not that we can really prove anything, but it's kind of interesting to look into. It's not that we can prove it or call it a fact, but it is interesting to look into. I know the late Chuck Missler. He is one of those people who pondered the idea of numerous dimensions. It is very interesting to think about what it means and how it affects our life. But we must not lose our view of the most important thing to look at that there is, and that is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And we do have lots to think about. There's a lot going on as we go through life. Look at the human relations that we have. Oh, sometimes it's complicated. Sometimes there are other issues like car repairs or how to spend the money we have, how to save the money we have. Lots of concerns. And whatever our concerns are, we must keep sight of our relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So there's lots of distractions, but don't lose sight of that Jesus. I know there's a lot of things in our world that, well, just gets our attention. And it's natural that it does because, well, we live with a lot of things going on around us. I know we always seem to pay attention to earthquakes. And there are earthquake faults that the experts say could go at any time. One of them is the Hayward Fault, and not too far away from that is the San Andreas Fault. That's in the Bay Area. And then just days ago, there was an earthquake off the coast of Oregon. It was a 5.3. So, it gets our attention, and we have two ways of looking at it. One way is that these smaller earthquakes relieve the stress. And another view of looking at it is that these are warning us that the big one, the big earthquake, is coming our way. Well, a lot of people these days are thinking that the big one will be the Cascadia subduction zone, which goes just off the coast from Northern California into Canada. I know for a long time we thought it would be the San Andreas Fault that was going to be the big earthquake, and it still could be a really big earthquake. But the Cascadia subduction zone seems to be the really big earthquake. So, are these smaller earthquakes showing that the big one is getting ready to occur? Well, we don't know. There's really no way to know it. We don't have the experience to know. But we can recognize that these events are going on and that our prayer relationship with God is so very important. Sometimes trouble helps us to seek God. Oh, and then there's a few people who get trouble and they go away from God. Well, people are different, but I like to see things bring us toward God. Whether they're events that are locally or events that are in our world, let's everybody move towards God. There, like I said, in the world there's things going on. They grab our attention. Oh, like a few days ago, the United Nations, their World Health Organization, just declared the Ebola outbreak in Africa's Congo to be an international health emergency. That's something that could get your attention or take your attention away from what really needs to be looked at. Or do we look at the emergencies and say, I'll pray about that? Well, this Ebola outbreak in Congo, in the last year, the last 12 months, it has killed 1,700 people. That's notable, all right. It really is. So let's remember to pray. Pray for God to, well, have mercy. And, well, that's one of the things that the news can do, is they can help us to talk to God and develop that relationship with Him. Lots of things in the news can help to motivate us to prayer. Oh, another article in the news recently was, there was a father who jumped into a fast-moving Northern California river, the Yuba River, to save his 12-year-old daughter, who was struggling in the swift current. And he got swept away. Some other adults there helped rescue the 12-year-old daughter. But news articles go on all the time, and we get to pay attention to them and let the things that we hear draw us closer to God. To have prayer for the people who are in trouble. To have prayer for the events that we can make reasonable preparation for. You see, in this life, we will have trouble, and we will have the unexpected come along. So, if we get some preparation together for us or for our neighbors, for the just in case, well, we can do a lot of good. We can help a lot of people with what we have, and of course, ourselves and our family too. So, you have a look at it and you determine what is reasonable for you to do in the way of preparedness. Now, I notice in the Bible that there are often people who have a storehouse. I urge you to pray about it and to think about it. Seek God's guidance as you think, as you plan, and as you do. So you know that preparedness is an area that gets my attention. A few months back, Sweden was in the news because the government was telling every citizen of Sweden to be self-sufficient for just in case there was a war, oh, like with Russia, or if there was something else that happened. The Swedish government sent a booklet to every house in Sweden saying, every citizen in every household must be self-sufficient in case there is an emergency. Because if there was an emergency, the Swedish government would not be able to help its citizens. Imagine that. The government could not help its citizens. Well, in a way, our U.S. government is about the same. Like in the last 20 years, our government has been saying that it can do very little for our citizens also, because our government has nothing in storage to help us if there is a major catastrophe. Apparently, the supplies which the U.S. government has put away are only for those in the top levels of government and for the United States military. Only those two groups, and not for the citizens of the United States. So, any supplies which FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, distributes, they have to be purchased from the stores and the distribution centers. The government does not have any supplies. So you see, it is up to each one of us to have a store of goods for us to have on hand just in case we need to get through some kind of an emergency. Oh, you would have to get through the emergency, if there really was a big one, until you could plant a crop and harvest the crop. And that's a year away, basically. And then, if there are bad conditions, well, you might have to wait a second year. Wait through a second year if the second crop failed. And how would you get through that? 2 years of food that you would need if there was a famine, if there was a volcanic cloud that made it so the sun couldn't supply the crops with enough heat and sunshine? Well, who could even conceive that there would be 2 years of crop failure? Well, a lot of people wondered about that same thing in ancient Egypt when there were 7 years of crop failures. Now, that happened when Egypt, when Joseph was there in Egypt. They had, Pharaoh had a dream from God, which Joseph interpreted by God's grace, and it meant that there would be 7 years of leanness, followed. Let me start that again. The dream was that there would be 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of leanness, which meant famine. So that is talked about in Genesis chapter 41. There was a huge famine in Genesis chapter 47, and they talk about when things failed. For instance, when money failed, and that when that happened, and there was not enough food, the Egyptian people first sold what they had to buy food, and then they sold their animals so they could get grains for food. Then they sold their land, and then they even sold themselves to become slaves so that they could get enough food to live. Well, that was Egypt all those thousands of years ago. Thankfully, that could never happen here, could it? Well, we are Americans, and we have been highly favored by God, so don't you think that could never happen here? Well, I'm kind of concerned, because we as a people have lived in ways which God does not like. And there can be serious consequences for when the people do that. That's what history tells us. If we live ignoring God, it can bring some very serious consequences for every nation that does that. One of the things that our nation has done is to abort babies. And we have had approximately 70 million abortions. Whew, yikes. So, I do wonder how many of those men and women have asked God for forgiveness. Well, do you wonder if there's something that we can do for intercessory prayer regarding what has happened, and that we can postpone whatever it is that's coming? Ask for mercy. Definitely. Yes. And give thanks to God when He gives us forgiveness of the eternal consequences of what we have done that is evil in God's eyes. Well, God does forgive us when we confess our sin, but it doesn't mean that the consequences in this life are gone. That's something which we really don't know. Oh, I've read articles that tell something about, they make a connection between the natural disasters in our nation to something that we as a nation have done. If we have done something wrong and improper in the eyes of God, then there have been consequences. Oh, like if we signed a treaty that was against God's written will, or if we pass a law, again, against something that is opposed to God's will. There gets to be a consequences. Often enough, it is a natural disaster of one sort or another. There have been fires. There have been hurricanes. There have been earthquakes. And there have been writers in the present day or in recent years who have made the connection between what man has done, men in this nation, and the consequences in this nation or in another nation. There is a link. There is something that can be seen and discovered and followed. Oh, speaking of links, the scientists have observed a link between national earthquakes having an effect in one part of the country, even though they occur in another. A connected earthquake, geological links. There is a connection with earth movement from one place to another, on the continent or even internationally. That is what some scientists have observed. Oh, for instance, in the middle of the country, there might be an earthquake, and the aquifer water levels can drop on one part of the country, but they may rise on the other side of the country, halfway across the continent. And so these scientists, or people who observe, are noticing the same thing with a hot springs, for instance, or a volcanic activity, that somehow something happens halfway across the continent, and then it affects the other part of the continent with water levels, with volcanic activity, or something like that. So, it's a new area of study, but there have been scientists who have noted that there is a pattern on this continent and even worldwide, but it's not that it's a well-documented study yet, but people are looking. There, you remember on 4th of July, there were earthquakes in California, and then there was increased geyser activity of Old Faithful Geyser in Yellowstone National Park. So it just adds to our questions and our examination of the conductivity of earthquakes and volcanic action and Yellowstone Park, for instance. In particular, it's Steamboat Springs at Yellowstone Park. And again, the scientists don't really know the real long-term information, but they do notice the connections. And there's extra concern because Yellowstone is a super caldera volcano. And that brings people to wonder at what might be happening with that Yellowstone caldera Is it getting ready to blow like a volcano? And we just don't know. But we do know that that steamboat geyser in Yellowstone National Park has erupted more times in 1 month. That was in June of 2019 than it ever has been recorded to erupt. So we can't say we know what these signs mean, but it's a possible indicator. Maybe nothing will happen at all, and maybe it will. So what do you do with that? It kind of reminds me of an old Clint Eastwood movie, Dirty Harry it was, where a San Francisco cop at the end of the movie corners a psycho perpetrator. And Clint Eastwood asks him if he feels lucky. And the perp did feel lucky. And there was a little contest between those two, and the perp lost his life. He felt lucky, but that wasn't enough. So, do we feel lucky that we can avoid the problems that are percolating up out of the earth with volcanoes and earthquakes? I don't know. What are we facing? Natural disasters? Who knows? But there are things going on. Do we feel lucky? There's the southern area of the San Andreas earthquake fault. There's the Hayward earthquake fault. There's the Cascadia zone subduction fault area. And there's all sorts of things going on, like the West Coast does have active volcanoes. You know, there's Mount Shasta, Mount Lassen, Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier, and Mount Hood. Those are all questionable. If any of those could erupt, nobody knows. And I've already said about the Yellowstone Super Caldera volcano. So it's possible that anything could happen. There are other threats that we have too. It's the natural disasters, but there's also the difficulty between nations. You could even wonder if there will be a war, because neither Russia nor China are very happy with the USA. I don't mind that they're not happy with us, but I do wonder about what we are able to do. For instance, why do we have to have our military forces spread so thin over the entire world? I don't know, but I wonder about things that we hear. Like some months back, there was a RAND Corporation report that had a simulated war in the South China Sea. And it had China winning that war and the United States losing that war. I do not understand how it could be that the United States would lose, but that was their simulation exercise. And there's a lot of countries that are unhappy with the United States. I think there's plenty of smaller countries that would join in a battle opposing the United States. So, all this, to me, points to the bigger picture that we are in a battle, and it is firstly a spiritual battle where there are many forces which oppose this nation. They oppose the nation, and they oppose the people of this nation. They certainly would not mind taking the riches that we have. And there's some of those people, enemies, that don't even mind killing the American people to get it. Well, that's kind of another subject, but we can realize that there really are these forces out there that view us, the United States people, as being so immoral that we don't deserve to even live. So that's what some people say. It's not at all what we want to be. We want to be showing the love of Jesus Christ to all the people of the world. But in this country, we're not all Christians, and it gives a different impression to people of the world if they're dealing with a Christian worldview or a worldly view of the world. So, will there be consequences for all the things going on? Of course there will be. Some will even call it judgment, but it could be spread out. There could be quite a long time where things happen. It doesn't mean that the consequences have to happen at one time. So just remember, please, to seek the will of God. Let each man, each one, each person have hope in God and seek out the will of God. As we pray for each other, and as we pray for this nation, as we pray for the world, oh, there's so much to pray for. If you look at people you know, you will see all sorts of prayer is needed. It's needed for the people that you deal with, or the people you hear about, read about, or in the news. Prayer is good. I encourage everyone to pray. Oh, I was listening to a guest on Dr. Dobson's broadcast, and the guest said that the millennium generation, has a hard time to understand the concept of sin and to understand the consequences of sin. The millennials might ask, who defines what is true and what is right? Is it God who does that? Or is it what that individual millennium person says? Who defines what is right and wrong? Well, what a dilemma to have for a young person. Now, as a Christian, we understand that God defines what is true and right and what is wrong. But I ask you, how do you explain that concept to someone who truly has no idea about sin? Or right and wrong, or perhaps even about God? How do we explain it to our young people? Well, isn't it amazing that we Americans have sent missionaries all across the world? And today, we Christian Americans may have to be missionaries to our younger generation, right here in America. Wow. Well, it reminds me of a sign that was on the way out of a church parking lot. This was in Paradise, California, and it read, "You are now entering your mission field." Yep. Our mission field is the world, and we are Christians to carry the love of God and the knowledge of God to the world. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Oh, I think I'd better read that one, several verses there. Let's see. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were torn down like sheep having no shepherd. 37. Then he said unto his disciples, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, are we supposed to be the laborers? Ready to work the harvest? Yep, I think it kind of is like that. And are we supposed to just watch everything unfold before our eyes in these end times? Or are we supposed to have work at things, do things to show the love of God? Well, yeah, definitely we should do that. And we are saved, aren't we? We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that's what the Scripture says to do. It's always a question if you believe one Scripture more than the entire book of Scripture, because it just gives you a different impression if you just get to say, yes, Jesus, I believe in Jesus, or if there's something that we are encouraged to do, not for salvation, but just because we love Jesus and we show that we're faithful by our actions. So, like I like to tell everybody, look it up for yourself. Because if you listen to people, well, it seems like people have their own ideas about a lot of things. And if you listen to a radio broadcast, or people on television, or people in person, you will find that there are many different ideas. And often enough, these different ideas, they might be conflicting with one another. And you know, they cannot all be right. So, if you are looking at a question as important as if you will go to heaven or hell, you just might want to take a few days and study it out for yourself. Read the New Testament. You can even read it two times or three times. And if you want, you can read the entire Bible. It might take you a year, but if it's important to you, it is worth reading to be assured that you are on your way to heaven and not hell. Well, in the Bible, it's all written down. You can read it, or you can listen to it on tape. There's lots you can do to get the Bible understanding. Oh, I think of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And it concludes with the words that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, it's kind of hard to imagine fear and trembling, because here we are in America. We're comfortable. We're well-fed, and we're safe from lots of different organized violence. So, how can we even conceive of being fearful and trembling? Well, if you listen to people, especially when you hear the stories about people who have had an experience of being on the edge of hell, you can imagine that there is a genuine fear and trembling about if the destiny is hell versus heaven. So, have a look at it. Have a look. Read. or listen to it on tape or something. There's a lot going on right in front of each one of us. Things are going on in our life and in our nation. You know, there's plenty of people who feel like or who believe that our nation is about ready to crumble. And while I would not say that I believe it, I would say that there are some possibilities that would bring a lot of hardship to our nation. Because, for instance, our financial situation is so out of control. Our spending is so out of control. Our huge debt is going to have a huge impact on this country. Our social restraints are loosened in what we will allow and what people will do. There's widespread criminal behavior in our nation because people have unrestrained desires for pleasure. And so you look at the fantasies that people have that are encouraged by our social media and even the fantasy games. So all these things are distracting us from the real issue of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What can be more important than that? It reflects on our eternal destiny, about how real death is, and then how real heaven or hell is. All these things, oh, do I say they confront us? They have an impact on our life. And somehow, we have to have put it into perspective, and we have to be able to learn how to live with these things that are right in front of us. How to have compassion for our world, and how to make sure that our relationship with God is as good as it can be. And I think the best help for that is for us to have time with God through, by reading the Bible and understanding what the Word of God says. And other people can't really do that for us. They can tell us about what is in the Bible, but for us to actually get a grasp of it and let it sit and dwell within us, I think we have to spend a little time ourselves in the Bible, either reading it or listening to it on tape. The Bible is the greatest truth, and there are pastors that we can listen to. And the pastors can have good insight, and they can relate one part of the Bible to us that we really would like to have more understanding about. But it is God's Word, the Bible, that it is good to get inside of each one of us and let it dwell in us. Otherwise, we go to a different place and we get involved with error or even sinfulness, but it is something that moves us away from God if we do not put our paths together with or towards God. I know I've seen on TV all sorts of things, but I saw that there were some young adults who put fake animal blood on themselves, and they did this to protest that animals were being killed. And when I saw that, I wondered why these young people were not more concerned that human babies were being killed right inside of their mothers. And I wonder what that means for our future, that we have, or that there are people who have such great concern for animals, but less concern for humans. one of these days, these humans are going to be right involved with our culture and our politics. And what will happen? Well, there's lots of Christians who relate it to the end times and what will happen soon enough when Jesus returns. And will that be quickly? We wonder. Will it be in 50 or 100 years? We wonder about that too. And it's not quite like we know. I remember saying to an older brother, a Christian brother, and I said to him that Christ could return at any times because that's what I was feeling at the moment. And he said, "Oh no, John, Jesus could return in 100 years. We just don't know." And I thought to argue with him, but I couldn't. As I thought about it, I realized, yes, it's true. It could be a long ways off still. We think about having goodness in the world and how Jesus will restore the world and us in it. So we don't want it to be a long ways off. But the truth is, we really don't know what God's timing is. Yes, it says, the Bible talks about the soon return of Jesus, but is soon referring to God's timing or our timing? It's a good question. So, have a look at that like we do. Have a look at so many things and prepare for the end of life, because often enough, the end of life happens sooner than we want. And now, there are people who we can listen to who have had an experience where they have been on the edge of heaven, and they've talked about how beautiful heaven is. And they face death with no fear at all. That's wonderful. So I think of 1 Corinthians 2:9. It is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So, yes, let's think about eternity with God in heaven. Wonderful. Well, thank you for listening to Christ Today, and you can listen to this or any other broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. That is lowercase and no spaces. You can get my preparedness pamphlet by writing John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God and may God walk with you.